Subliminal Seduction. How the Mass Media Mesmerizes the Minds of the Masses. By Billy Crone. Chapter 1. The History of Subliminal Technology. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone from Get a Life Ministries, and I want to thank you for joining us for our next documentary entitled, Subliminal Seduction, How the Mass Media Mesmerizes the Minds of the Masses. Right out of the gates, you can tell, with that eclectic title, that this comes across as yet another seemingly bizarre or outlandish topic for us to deal with. In fact, even more so than some of the other documentaries we have done in the past. So, naturally, you might be wondering, why in the world are you talking about this topic at a time like this, and how does this fit in with what's going on in our world today? Subliminal seduction. Are you serious? Have you fallen off the deep end on this one? At the outset, I agree with you. It seems it is a bit far-fetched. However, as you will see, and I think eventually even agree, once you look at the evidence, as wild as it appears, subliminal technology did not disappear in the 1950s like we were told. Rather, ever since then, this deceptive technology has actually been used on us, right on up to our present day, and it's being used on a massive scale, worldwide, to manipulate, mesmerize, and control the minds of the masses, for some pretty nefarious reasons, by the way. And for those of you who might not be familiar with subliminal technology, let alone its history, let's take a little stroll down memory lane, shall we?
Cheddar News. Every day the average American is exposed to from between 4 to 10,000 ads. We are bombarded by them while we surf the net, watch TV, or even while we are walking around. But what if there are more ads, ones that we don't consciously consume? What if advertisers found a way to tap into the subconscious? For example, as I was just talking, did you see that? It's just a frame long.
A cartoon of passengers on a bus, reading papers, but across the screen it has in large print subscribe.
Just short enough that most people would not even notice. This is an example of a visual subliminal message, and did you just hear that? Let's bring nanovision to the front.
Background noise is repeating, subscribe.
This was playing at intervals during the last minute. It is an example of an audio subliminal message. On September 12, 1957, a market researcher held a press conference to present his findings of a recent experiment. The man was James Vickery. In his experiment, audiences were shown the film, Picnic. Flash frames were littered throughout the movie with phrases like hungry? Eat popcorn and drink Coca-Cola. Each frame lasted 1/3,000th of a second. Far too quick for a viewer to notice. Vickery claimed that the sales of Coca-Cola and popcorn had gone up 18.1% and 57.8% respectively. Journalists began publishing articles claiming that America had entered the age of Big Brother. The dystopian world of 1984 had arrived. But there was a problem. Vickery revealed that the data was too small to be meaningful.
Or was it? And this is where it gets interesting, because ever since James Vickery came back in 1962, 5 years after the initial experiment, where he said that the results of subliminal messaging upon people were, quote, too small to be meaningful, everybody, by and large, in the media and advertising industries, began to come out and say, right on up to this day, that this was all just a big hoax, that there's nothing to see here, there's nothing to be afraid of, we've done our own experiments on this technology and trust us, it's not true. Okay. To me, this is like asking the fox to guard the henhouse. The very same people who could potentially use this subliminal technology on the masses for various nefarious purposes, are the very same people telling us to trust their own so-called independent studies on this technology and take their word for it, that there is nothing to worry about, they would never do this to us, and blindly take them at their word, go back to sleep, assume it all went away. I don't think so. And I would say that because one, subliminal technology, can and does, influence people. It is a real technology, as you will see here in a second. And two, there are countries today that have actually banned the use of subliminal technology. So, my question is, why would you ban subliminal technology if there's nothing to worry about? Let me show you what I mean.
Psych show. Subliminal perception is for sure a thing. We definitely can react to a stimulus even when we can't consciously perceive it, which is different to superluminal perception. Things that we do consciously perceive, even if we don't pay direct attention to them, like product placement. The line in between those two is known as subjective threshold. Then below that is the objective threshold. The level at which we do not perceive or react to the thing. Subliminal perception research dates back to a book published in 1898 when a psychologist was looking to confirm the idea of a so-called sub-waking self. In a few experiments, he asked a few dozen participants to read some numbers or letters on cards, but he held the cards so far away that they could only see a blur or small dot. When forced to choose, participants could usually distinguish between numbers and letters, and they got it right around 2/3 of the time. They actually did better than chance at guessing exactly at what was on each card, all of which suggested they were perceiving the images on some level, even though they thought they were just guessing. In a 1951 study in the journal Psychological Review, found an even clearer evidence by conditioning people to associate certain nonsense words with an electric shock. Later, when the words were shown to them too briefly to be consciously seen, the researchers measured greater electrodermal activity for words associated with the shock. That is a slight change in how well skin conducts electricity, which is associated with sweating. In other words, even though subjects believed they hadn't seen anything, their bodies still anticipated the jolt. So, we know subliminal perception is real. If the subliminal advertising isn't technically illegal in the US, while Australia and the UK have laws against it, the US doesn't forbid advertisers or networks from using it.
Gee, I wonder why. And I also wonder why countries have put bans upon this kind of technology, if there was nothing to worry about and it's all just a big giant hoax, as they would have us believe. It doesn't make sense to me. Does it to you? Unless, of course, it really does have an effect on us, as you just saw, and they really do use it, right on up to present day. In fact, let me give you a couple of easy, current, verifiable examples. Starting with the subliminal messaging that is embedded in company logos.
Business Insider. Subliminal messages are everywhere, especially in corporate logos. A few examples of these are like the Tostitos logo, which contains much more than their name. Inside the logo are two people eating Tostitos. Inside the Hershey Kisses brand, you can find a hidden kiss between the K and the I. When you look at the NBC logo between the pink and the purple wings of the peacock, you actually can see where a hidden silhouette of the peacock lives. The Milwaukee Brewers logo is much more than a baseball glove. The team's initials are hidden inside. The smiley face on the Goodwill sign is actually forming a letter G in the name. If you look at the Pittsburgh Zoo and PPG Aquarium sign, you will see the silhouette of a tiger and an ape. Formula One Racing has a secret buried in its logo. If you look at the negative space, you will see a large number 1. The FedEx logo hides an arrow in its negative space. The Tour de France logo contains a well-integrated biker. The Sun Microsystems logo is a perfect ambigram. It can be read from any angle. Also, the graphic doesn't actually include an S. The Baskin-Robbins logo cleverly uses the company's initials to advertise its number of ice cream flavors. The 31 is inside the branch initials. The cleverness of this logo is twofold, Amazon. The arrow points from A to Z, referring to all that is available on Amazon.com, and it doubles as a satisfied smile, with dimple. The Toblerone logo is a tribute to the Swiss town where the chocolate was developed. Do you see the dancing bear in the mountain? Some think the LG logo is a Pac-Man reference. The smiling, winking face is more apparent, but only slightly. The logo for Sony's computers represents the brand's integration of analog and digital technology. The VA is designed as an analog waveform. The IO is binary code.
That's just company logos. What else is going on out there? Well, a lot, as you are going to see here in just a second. And that, by the way, is from Business Insider. This is not joeschmo.com or wackyconspiracyguy.org or ilostmymind.edu. It's really out there and they even admit it, whether you realize it or not. But again, that is just the tip of the iceberg with this subliminal messaging that's going on in our world today. It's not just being used in company logos, but even in company advertising. Look at these examples, again, from the Business Insider.
Business Insider. Subliminal sex messages in advertising. The classic Coca-Cola image has two hidden, erotically situated women in it, located in the ice at the top of the can, and a spot of ice just below the second line on the picture of the bottle on the can. a Palmolive ad with a subtle hint of something more. Take a closer look at the arm holding onto the woman's leg. Who does it belong to? The Need for Speed 2 Xbox game cover has a secret. Take a look at the buildings in the distance. When you turn the cover sideways, the letters in the building lights spell sex. In 1990, Pepsi rolled out a line of cool cans for the summer season. One of them got a lot of attention. When you stack them on top of each other, they also spell sex in the lines that are drawn around the cans. Kids and adults alike took notice when Skittles released their berry explosion flavor. Take a close look at the candy's new title. Berry Explosion, but with a red Skittle with an S on it in front of the word explosion.
Right there in plain sight, whether you realized it or not. Again, from the Business Insider, not for my brains fell out onto the floor and I can't find them anymore. TV or something to that effect. And did you notice, they were using immoral means to get their subliminal messaging across for you and me to buy their products? And believe me folks, that is completely tame compared to what is really going on out there. I cannot, in good conscience, show you the other much more graphic sexually immoral ways they are doing it as well. Tons of examples are out there from reputable sources of subliminal messaging with sex acts, body parts, sexual innuendos of all kinds, just to name a few. Do your own research. It's sick. In fact, speaking of sickness, they are doing this same immoral subliminal messaging not only in advertising, but even in kids' cartoons. Look at these examples from Disney.
Narrator. In case you didn't know, Disney is big on hidden images, references, and even subliminal messages. Let's take a look at some of the best. At one point in the movie, Simba is having a rough time of it. As he releases a big sigh, he lays down on a cliff looking up at the night sky. As he does this, a paw shoots out petals into the night breeze. Usually, this would be nothing but a nice visual, but these petals seem to spell out a word that should only be mentioned by adults. Sex. Known to many as the most beautiful cartoon character ever to have existed, Jessica Rabbit was introduced in Who Framed Roger Rabbit? A seductive songstress that had quite a big part to play in the movie. But her legacy goes beyond that. She has inspired countless Halloween costumes, merchandise, and even a line of makeup. There was nothing quite like Ms. Rabbit before. And there hasn't really been anything like her since. Grown men were suddenly developing crushes on an animation. The world truly went bonkers with Jessica and continues to do so. That is why the scene you are about to read about is one of the most paused moments in movie history. When the car sequence crashes, Jess is flung out of the car alongside some other characters. It seems quite normal when you play it at the normal speed, but if you slow it down, you can clearly see that Jess's dress is going everywhere. Thankfully, it's not detailed, but it is still a moment that could have been handled better. Maybe the animators made a mistake thinking that no one would slow it down to take a peep in the years to come. Ratatouille, the innuendo in this is one is out of control. Ratatouille is a little more suitable for dirty jokes anyway, since the main characters are adults. But when Alfredo attempts to come clean about bringing a rodent into the kitchen, he struggles to get his words out during the difficult exchange. He steps up the reveal to tell about his tiny little, but before he can say the word rat, Colette drops the wickedest glance right at it. Somebody animated that glance and that facial expression. Rescuers Gone Wild, not all the dirty bits were originally intended. In this 1999 VHS release of The Rescuers, some hilarious or sometimes kind of sick, they managed to insert an image of a topless chick into the middle of a chase scene. Blink and you will miss it. The Lion King. Mufasa's face. Not actually all the dirty stuff is in the movie, but the movie poster of Mufasa's face bears an outline that could, from a certain angle, look like a naked chick. Did they realize this when they made it? Was it a little joke inserted by the illustrator? Or could it just be the mind of a fresh-minded internet user? We'll let you decide. Tangled. All About the Hair, another poster and another subliminal message. It's a miracle we have reached into adulthood without our subconscious minds being completely corrupted by this endless train of filth. Who are we kidding? We are all totally disturbed. Now look, not everyone agrees with this one, but take a look at the Tangled poster. Can you see it? Sex, a big metaphor staring you right in the face. It is written in the hair wrapped around the fellow in the picture.
Whether you, or your kids, realized it. In kids' cartoons. Why would you do that? That is sick, folks. And that's just Disney. Who knows what else is going on out there in the cartoon industry with other companies. And believe it or not, there's even much more sexually graphic examples of subliminal messaging going on in kids' cartoons than what you just read. But again, in good conscience, I cannot, and frankly, refuse to show them to you. It is appalling. But as you can see, this is really going on. I am not making this up, and it's not stopping with kids either. They not only use this graphic immoral adult subliminal messaging with kids, but they also do it with adults as well, on a massive scale. In fact, they use all kinds of subliminal techniques to manipulate audiences purposely, emotionally and mentally for their desired effect, and most people have no clue. Let me give you just a couple of examples of how they do just that.
Narrator. One of the weirdest storytelling tricks employed by your favorite TV shows is subliminal messaging. The art of sneaking little clues, hints, or imagery on screen that a viewer may not notice the first, second, or even the third time through. Get ready to have your brain snapped around like a rubber band when you see how ingeniously they have been messing with your head. You may never trust TV again. How I Met Your Mother. As a three-camera sitcom, How I Met Your Mother certainly didn't employ the satiric magic of subliminal clues on a regular basis. But it did make clever use of them in an episode, Bad News. If you were paying attention, you will notice in the first scene the number 50 is right there in the middle of the screen, kicking off the countdown that runs through the entire episode, from the label on a beer, 36, to a book cover, 25, to a sequential set of lottery numbers, 32, 31, 30, 29, 28, 27. If you are sharp-eyed enough to notice the number on the jacket, 10, reveals it is getting closer and closer until the countdown reaches, 1. After building up that kind of subliminal dread about the unstoppable march of time, the news is revealed and as expected it is quite bad. Breaking Bad. When future generations look back, Breaking Bad may be regarded as the Shakespearean epic of our time. It had compelling character transgression, fantastic writing, great acting, and of course subliminal messaging. Every item, scene, and moment in Breaking Bad is there for a reason, particularly when it comes to the show's color. The color code has been analyzed in major publications like Slate and Time, revealing that any color that a character would wear on the show would hint on what was going on in their head. When we first meet Walt, he is a mild-mannered cream puff that wears the muted colors of a potato sack. But when Walt takes the identity of Heisenberg and he starts getting drunk on power, his wardrobe changes to stronger colors, only moving back to milder khaki when he has moments of insecurity. Fringe? One of the creepiest feelings that you can experience is the sensation that you are being watched. And if you have ever had the urge to look over your shoulder while you are watching Fringe, there is a reason for that. Hidden in every single episode, yes, every episode through multiple seasons, an observer, a bald man in a business suit, lingers in the background and watches whenever weird stuff is going on. If that wasn't creepy enough, Fox marketed the Observer's reveal on Fringe by having an Observer Week, where observers popped up in all of Fox's programming. Appearing in places like American Idol and even a NASCAR race and an NFL game with no explanation offered. It's a long way to go to creep out your audience, Cloverfield. Did you know that Cloverfield contains a King Kong cameo? J.J. Abrams' monster movie is known for the shaky, stuttering, handheld camcorder, and in between cuts and flickers the director inserted single frames from monster movies like King Kong and the Beast from 20,000 Fathoms and Them. Whether they were put there to disturb the audience without them realizing it or as just a homage to the kind of movies that inspired Cloverfield, these splashes are a fun subliminal secret that can only be seen if you slow the scene down. Irreversible. Subliminal messaging isn't always about advertising. Filmmakers use it to create a certain emotional effect in their audience without them consciously knowing why they felt that way. The first 30 minutes of Irreversible contains an extreme low-frequency background noise that is virtually inaudible to humans but capable to causing uneasiness and nausea. he deliberately inserted it into his soundtrack to cause insatiable feeling of disgust while watching his movie.
Total manipulation, whether you realized it or not. And notice, it wasn't just methods of subliminally inserting graphic sexually explicit imagery into these forms of media, but even inserting subliminal placement, subliminal colors, and even subliminal sounds that you don't even know are there, to manipulate people in a variety of ways. Did you know this was going on? Is there a disclaimer at the bottom of these media formats telling us what they are doing, so we have a heads-up knowledge in order to choose whether or not we want to subject ourselves to this obvious admitted manipulation? Why not? I thought you said there's nothing to worry about and you'd never use this kind of technology on us, there's nothing to worry about, and it's all just a big hoax. I don't think so. They even admit it, they are using it on us, right on up to this very day in a variety of ways. And so that naturally brings us to the next question, does all this subliminal messaging really affect people? Well, yes of course, because we already have proof of that in some of the previous videos. In fact, in the last video they even admit that they use these subliminal techniques, to create the desired effect upon their audiences. But let's take a look at some more proof that subliminal technology really does manipulate the minds of the masses.
Narrator. It has been estimated that across all media each day we are exposed to over 360 adverts, and with the average American watching over 4.5 hours of television a day, the potential impact of subliminal messaging is huge. But what exactly counts as subliminal? A common definition states that a stimulus is subliminal when it is below the threshold of conscious awareness and cannot be subjectively identified from an alternative stimulus. For example, one study participant was shown pictures of a regular polygon for 1 millisecond, way too quick to be consciously aware of it. Afterwards, the participants were presented with pairs of figures, one that they had been exposed to previously and one which was new. They were asked to say which shapes they had seen before and which shape they preferred. Although they couldn't say which shape they had seen before, with guesses varied no better than chance, they showed an increased preference for the shapes they had unconsciously perceived previously. In another study, students were asked to write down 3 ideas for possible research projects. They were then exposed to the face of either a smiling or scowling professor. The students were not aware that they had been exposed to these faces and reported seeing only a flash of light. They were then asked to rate the quality of the research ideas they had proposed. Those who had been exposed to the scowling face rated their own ideas less favorably than those that had been exposed to the smiling face. Perhaps the most interesting in the study of unconscious awareness, people have been shown to remember specific events while under general anesthesia. Patients were given headphones which played repetitions of a series of single words. Following surgery, they reported no memory of any particular words, however, if presented with word stems, such as GUI or PRO, they were much more likely to complete the words with those which were played to them whilst unconscious. So, if the tapes included the words guide or proud, they were more likely to complete the word stems with these words compared with others. These effects, however, only lasted up to 24 hours, with the best results from the tests taken immediately following the surgery.
These experiments demonstrate the distinction between conscious and unconscious perception, with the latter leading to more automatic reactions.
What about advertising?
Real-world studies are hard to come by given the ethical implications.
In other words, have fun trying to get these guys to admit they are really using this on us because of the obvious moral and ethical violations it presents to us. And yet, contrary to the narrative that is being fed to us, there are actually scientists out there, even besides the evidence you've seen so far, that fully admit subliminal technology really does have an effect on people. Here is just one example from the UK.
Subliminal advertising really does work, claim scientists who found that people subconsciously respond to flashed messages, especially if they are negative. Researchers found that briefly displaying words and images so quickly that people do not even consciously notice does nevertheless change their thinking. They found it was particularly effective with negative images and words which could alter a person's mood. British researchers have shown messages we are not aware of can leave a mark on the brain. A team from University College London, funded by the Wellcome Trust, found that it was particularly good at instilling negative thoughts. There has been much speculation about whether people can process emotional information unconsciously, for example pictures, faces and words, said Professor Nili Lavi, who led the research. We have shown that people can perceive the emotional value of subliminal messages and have demonstrated conclusively that people are much more attuned to negative words. In the study, published in the journal Emotion, Professor Lavie and colleagues showed 50 participants a series of words on a computer screen. Each word appeared on screen for only a fraction of a second, at times only a 50th of a second, much too fast for the participants to consciously read the word. The words were either positive, for example, cheerful, flower and peace, negative, for example, agony, despair, and murder, or neutral, for example, box, ear or kettle. After each word, participants were asked to choose whether the word was neutral or emotional, i.e., positive or negative, and how confident they were of their decision. The researchers found that the participants answered most accurately when responding to negative words, even when they believed they were merely guessing the answer. Professor Lavie believes the research may have implications for the use of subliminal marketing to convey messages, both for advertising and public service announcements such as safety campaigns. Negative words may have more of a rapid impact, she said. Kill your speed should be more noticeable than slow down. More controversially, highlighting a competitor's negative qualities may work on a subliminal level much more effectively than shouting about your own selling points. Subliminal advertising is not permitted on TV in the UK, according to the broadcasting regulator Ofcom. However, there have been a number of cases where the rules been stretched.
In other words, they are doing it anyway. And yet, this is the constant challenge with exposing what is really going on with subliminal technology and how it is really being used on the masses to mesmerize their minds. As soon as anybody comes out with their own independent study on technology, demonstrating the clear real-world effects of subliminal messaging, like the one you just saw, the rest of the industry downplays it, pounces on it, denounces it as yet another hoax, or simply says it's nothing but the results of faulty research. Really? We already saw it is out there, still being used on us in a multitude of ways, they even admit it. This denial is the same old tired line, or should I say, lie, they've been using on us since the 1950s. And then, on top of all that, for even more proof, they even have a whole field of study on this kind of manipulative subliminal technology called neuromarketing.
It is defined as a commercial marketing communication field that applies neuropsychology to market research, studying consumers' sensory motor, cognitive, and affective response to marketing stimuli using brain scanning technologies such as MRIs and electroencephalography, EEG, to observe how people's brains respond to a specific ad, packaging design, product design, etc. Marketers take the results of the scans and use them to create marketing consumers will find more appealing or motivating.
In other words, they are using this science to get inside your brain to figure out how best to improve their techniques to manipulate you into buying their stuff. Now, wait a second. I'm supposed to believe you when you say subliminal technology is a hoax and there's nothing to worry about and you never use this on us when you have a whole field of scientific study out there dedicated to improving its results on us? I don't think so. And here's my point. Remember, we are just getting started with this documentary. I believe the use of this obvious manipulative and mesmerizing subliminal technology, that really is being used on us, is not only clearly affecting people's minds, but it is also clearly affecting their behavior. In fact, the timing of this technology is spot on. Because if you read the Bible, it warned about a specific type of immoral and egregious behavior that would rapidly ramp up when you're living in the last days. Let me show you that passage.
2 Timothy 3:1-5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them.
So here we see, nearly 2,000 years ago, where the Bible clearly warns us that one of the major unfortunate characteristics of the last day's society is that it's going to be a society filled absolute unadulterated, ever-increasing wicked behavior. It says people at that time are going to be selfish, greedy, boastful, prideful, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, out of control, brutal, evil, treacherous, rash, and conceited. And tell me that is not our world today. Every single one of them. And so, my obvious question is, how in the world did we get into this shape so fast as a society? I mean, it was not that long ago that we didn't have these kinds of behaviors in our world. Not on this scale. They weren't commonplace like they are now. So how did this happen? In fact, before I answer that, for a reference point, it wasn't that long ago that the leading disciplinary problems in schools were, get this, talking, chewing gum, making noise, running in the hallways, getting out of place in line, wearing improper clothing, and not putting paper in wastebaskets. Oh, those rebels. In fact, not that long ago, the biggest trouble people got into was like what happened here with Beaver and Leave It to Beaver. Remember this?
The clip opens with Beaver's mom asking him, how was the movie? The Beav has a guilty look on his face as he answers, I didn't go to the movie. His dad is rather concerned at his answer and asks, you didn't go to the movie? Now, Beaver knows he is in big trouble and answers his dad, no sir, I went yesterday when I wasn't supposed to. The dad replies, oh, is that so? Beaver then says, yes sir, and I want a racing bike with a genuine leather seat, and I hit it at Larry's, and I was going to make believe that I won it today, but I couldn't, so that is why I am telling you what happened. Well, the dad says, when did you decide to tell us about it? Beaver answers, when I was walking the bike home from Larry's. At that point Wally chimes in, yeah dad, it's too big for him to ride. The audience laughs. Well, Beaver, I'm glad you decided to tell us the truth. His dad replies, of course, you know you can't keep the bike you won when you were being disobedient. We will have to find something to do with the bike. But Beaver seems to have the problem solved when he says, Larry and I have already found something to do with it. I walked it back down to Larry's house and then Larry and I took it down to a church. His dad asks, to a church? Beaver explains, Larry saw what a church does with babies. Out of curiosity the dad asks, does what? Beaver tells him that they left the bike on the steps of the church with a note. We just hope that someone nice adopts it. At that point the dad tells him, I'm glad you realized you couldn't keep the bicycle, but there is still the matter of you being disobedient, isn't it? Beaver answers, yes sir. So, the dad tells him that he is going to have to stay away from the movies for a while, for 2 weeks. Beaver answers, yes sir, and turns to leave the room.
What a rebel! Can you imagine the audacity of the boy? What wickedness! What horrible rotten behavior was demonstrated there by Beaver? Our society's falling apart. Yeah, I'm joking. How we wish it were only that bad today. Look around. Now we have to deal with these top problems at school today, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, pregnancy, suicide, murder, guns, robbery, rape and metal detectors everywhere. So again, my question is, how in the world did these behaviors change so fast? Well, believe it or not, I believe the media, including the use of subliminal technology, has a very large part to play in it. Now, I will say this as a disclaimer of sorts, people are still responsible for their own actions and behaviors. They cannot and should not go around blaming others for what they do, including the use of subliminal technology on them. No, they need to own up to it. But I do believe that this type of manipulative technology is influencing people to make that choice whether they realize it or not, to engage in this type of immoral egregious last days behavior. And again, that is why we entitled this documentary, Subliminal Seduction: How the Mass Media Mesmerizes the Minds of the Masses. In fact, I also find it interesting that Leave It to Beaver with its mild seemingly innocuous behavior as compared to today, came out in 1957, the exact same year James Vickery came out with his subliminal movie Popcorn Coke Experiment. And now, over 60 years later, ask yourself, what would happen to a society that has been theoretically subjected to a constant ever-increasing insertion of immoral subliminal messages into their advertisements, movies, television, and even kids' cartoons? I think it would help explain why there is such an increase of immoral behavior in people in such a very short period of time, just like the Bible warned would happen in the last days. Again, the timing is spot on. It is not by chance. In fact, to prove my point even further, let's now move on from the history of subliminal technology to the methods of subliminal technology. What you are about to see is going to make it even more clear as to why our society is going down the tubes like the Bible predicted.